Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence with us today, and we ask in the name of Jesus that the living and active Word of God would find its place in our lives, where we come with love, obedience, and joy to be your disciples, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. Hello. Do apologize for that. This morning we're looking at this theme of stepping up in generosity. And I want you to keep your Bibles open to the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is a teaching on basic discipleship. We've been looking over this past few weeks at themes about stepping up, and this is about following Jesus. To be a disciple is to follow Jesus, even where it's not easy, is to keep following Jesus. Sometimes that's just a choice that we make. We don't always find... Jesus never actually said it would be really easy to follow him. He never said it would all just be blue skies and sunshine all the way. Sometimes in our discipleship, we take a breath and we step out and we make the choice to follow Jesus, even when we don't always feel like it. And that's what we've been looking at in terms of stepping up, in terms of serving, and in terms of connecting in to God's church, and today about giving as well, and about generosity. It kind of, for me, it's a bit like I've been kind of stop and start running over these past few months, or probably a bit more than that. So sometimes, you know, sometimes doing well with running, sometimes not. I do enjoy it most of the time. I was out for a run yesterday, and I did kind of 20 minutes, ran about 4K. And when I got into about 2 minutes, my legs felt heavy. I just felt like, I just want to stop. Do I have to do this? Why am I doing this? I don't know. You know, have you ever felt that? I don't know if there's runners among us or anything like that. And you just think, what am I doing? And for me, it's a bit like that. I did carry on, by the way, and it was better towards the end. Sometimes at the start, you feel a bit creaky. But sometimes I feel like that in the Christian life. Sometimes I feel, why am I doing this? I feel creaky. I feel like, this is hard work. It may be in different areas of life we feel that. Maybe it feels like that for you sometimes when you think of coming to church. It just feels like hard work, or, oh, do you know what? I'd rather just stay in today and listen to the Archers or something, you know. Or, you know, you might feel that about life group, or you might feel that about serving in some way, like, do I really have to do this? Oh. That's how I felt yesterday. And that's all, sometimes how we can be in terms of generosity as well. We may think to ourselves, you know, like, oh, I know I should be a giver, but, oh, man, I really want to, do I have to do that? And this is partly what I thought was great about the word that was shared this morning, actually, is that, you know, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. But sometimes we've got so much stuff in our hands already, just with life, with how many of us sometimes feel overwhelmed by life? I've got my hand high, because I do. I sometimes feel overwhelmed by life. And sometimes Caroline and I sit around the kitchen table and we just say, honestly, genuinely, we say, how are we to live? How does God want us to live? What choices should we be making? In terms of finances, we might say, well, how should we be spending? How should we be saving? How should we be giving? How do we know what to do? There's so much advice out there in life. Life is so demanding upon us with layer upon layer of complexity of how to live, that sometimes we feel we're drowning. We may be drowning in stuff sometimes. We may be drowning with all the kind of world that pulls us in so many directions with marketing, and you need this and you need that and you need the next thing. And it can be really confusing to work out or to discover what should we be doing about finance in our lives? What should we be doing with our money? It can be confusing. Sometimes we feel that. Sometimes we feel like that kind of sense of exhaustion or confusion or just don't know. But actually, the Bible really gives us powerful words about this topic, and it's really important for us to deal with this issue of money and God, and to do it in a healthy way that doesn't leave us feeling all confused, but it's actually really clear. And Jesus spoke about money a tremendous amount. I'm not going to go into all the everything on that. I mean, you just have to do a quick Google search on Jesus and money, and there's loads of stuff there. One of the things he said, for example, was Matthew 19. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to inherit the kingdom of God. Which should make us think. It should make us give us a little bit of pause and think, well, I want to enter the kingdom of God. Is there anything that I need to be thinking about here, Jesus, in my discipleship? And as I'm following you in the best way I can, not perfectly, but I do want to follow Jesus. And so how can I put into practice discipleship with finances? And often it's said that your bank statement it's a theological document. It does say what you believe. If someone was to look at your bank statement, it would show, that would be a great way to see what you believe in, how you use the resources and the finances that you've got. Says a lot about us, doesn't it? And it's an important thing. And it also says what you believe about God, which is pretty challenging, isn't it? Money reveals our hearts. Money, for a lot of us, is about our security, our dependency. And we rely on money to get through life, don't we? We need it every day, 24/7. We need that security. But this passage of Scripture speaks quite powerfully into that, and money speaks a lot about how we see God. And the biggest issues I find when I think about money, there's two of them, if not more, but two that I could thought about at least. One of them is fear, the fear of lack, that sort of gnawing thing that says, if I'm generous, what if the car breaks down? What if you know, what about saving for my kids' university? What about all the things? And I suddenly develop a really long list of things that are really important to save up for. And I'm not saying those things are not worth it. I'm just telling you what happens in my head when thinking about giving. And there can be some of that is completely legitimate. It's completely fine, and we do need to save. Believe in saving. That's great. But if I allow that, some of those thoughts, to go from being good stewardship into actually fear, then I'm going to defend my finances with everything I've got. So just for the rainy day. And some people can build up huge sums of money for that rainy day just because they're too fearful to be generous. The other thing that I find when I think about finances is that voice in my head that tells me it's control, because I say things like, it's my money. I've got the right to decide what to do with that. I earned it. It's mine. And I will decide this and that and the next thing. And it's actually inside my head, it's controlling. Again, that's not necessarily, but we all have to make decisions about what we spend on and what we save and what we give. But if there's sometimes that line, you know, that line where you go from being from common sense, sensible, good judgment, and you just go beyond that a bit into fear and control. And we start to justify our thinking. And if we go a little bit deeper, sometimes we can find actually where's that thought coming from? It's possibly more about control and fear than it is about being a good steward. So I really believe in being a good steward, in saving and in spending where we need to, and in giving. But it's really important for us to reflect on where sometimes our assumptions about our finances are coming from. A lot of it's to do with family history. A lot of it's to do with how we've seen other people spend or save or give in good or bad ways. And so we live from that place. But I don't think God ever intends for us to live from fear or control in any aspect of our lives. He wants us to live in freedom and in following him and in discipleship and in generosity. When I say generosity, I'm not saying you have to like become a pauper. It's really important that, you know, we need to hear wisdom on these things. You know, the proverb says, give me neither poverty or riches. We're not asking for either of those extremes, but just to listen to God. And yeah, as I said, we often, Caroline and I, reflect on these things. And when a need to spend something comes into our lives, we reflect on it and we think about it, perhaps for too long sometimes. But sometimes we're asking ourselves the question, how should we live? How does God want us to live in this consumer age? How does God want us to live in this complex world that we live in? And that we work that out just through talking and through reflecting and through looking at Scripture and through, you know, trying to find the wisdom of God in it all. Paul, when he wrote this letter in 1 Timothy, he was passing on he's an elder statesman of the church. He planted this church in Ephesus. And Timothy's the young pastor in this Ephesian church. And Paul wrote this letter to this young pastor to pass on. This is the truth I want you, Timothy, to pass on to the people in the church in Ephesus. He wrote the letter somewhere 68-65 AD. It's a pastoral letter from a leader to a younger leader. And it really I think it's great, these words. I haven't really heard people speak on this passage before, and it's kind of a passage that's leapt out at me. It's quite, twice the word command is used, which is pretty strong, isn't it? You know, this is what you should be teaching, Timothy, to the Ephesian church. And he says, let's look at verse 17. I've only got 2 points today, so verse 17 has got the first one. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And the first thing I want to say today about giving and this generosity is that generosity is about hope. Have a look here. Just let me read it again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Don't we know it? From the stock market, it can go up or down or left or right. You know, if you put your hope in wealth, it can all go south. But put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So generosity is about hope. And it's interesting, Paul kind of rejects both materialism and asceticism here. The answer is not more, the constant more of materialism, but it's also not just give everything away, asceticism. Because he says, you put your hope in God, who richly provides everything for your enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy things. He wants you to use things. He wants you to have things. There's nothing wrong with that. Because he's a good father. He gives us what we need for our enjoyment. God is okay with us enjoying stuff. It's fine, as long as we keep it in the right perspective. So it's not aesthetic. It's not just saying, right, we've all got to become poor, give everything away. No, but it's also not saying we all just want to continue on that continual treadmill of consumerism and the continual lust for more stuff, which makes nobody happy. There's something here about simplicity. There's something here about gratitude in our thinking about our possessions and our money and everything that goes alongside all of that. So are we putting our hope in wealth? If you're putting your hope in the size of your bank balance or the stuff you've got, then I would say you're not seeing God correctly. You're not seeing who God is truly. Because our God is a God of hope. And generosity helps us to see God better. It's part of who God's character, it's part of God's character, this his nature to be generous. How, you know, he gave us his only son to die on the cross. How much more will he along with him freely give us all things? Jesus is a generous savior. Our God is so, we can't over-exaggerate his generosity towards us. And when we are generous, we catch more a glimpse of him. When we defend ourselves in this regard, we see less of who he is and we're following him less. And I kind of learned some of this, still learning it as I've said already, but one of my first steps towards this was when 18 years ago, Caroline and I got married, and we're nearly at our anniversary actually, the year, on 1st of July 2000. And we, 18 years ago, when we got married, I have to say I didn't bring a lot of money to the table. There you go. Didn't marry me for my bank balance. But we decided together when we got married that we would tithe. And I've never done that before. Never done it before. And I mean it when I say we didn't have a lot of money. I think I got back from honeymoon with a fiver in my pocket or something like that. It was not wealthy. But we decided we wanted to honor the Lord together and that we would give the first 10% of the income we got. We would do it regularly and we would do it cheerfully, which is a step into the unknown for us because, as I said, I'd never done that before. Church, for me, up until that point, I'd been a Christian for a long time before that, but I had just put into the offering almost what was in my pocket that day. And I'd not really got a vision for giving in my life. I hadn't really got a vision for what God wanted to do through the finances that he had given me. Maybe it's because there wasn't much. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter the amount. And that's really important. So some of us may sit here today and think, well, I haven't got much. And you know what? We don't, it's not that we're thankful for large gifts and we don't care. Let me say it publicly. We thank God for every single gift. No matter how small or how great, God loves a cheerful giver. That's the heart of it all. Our giving is a response to his love. The amount is between you and the Lord. I don't know what anybody gives here. The amount is between you and the Lord. But I certainly didn't have much. But it was about the discipleship choice. It was about the choice that said, Lord, here's what we give to you. It's the first 10% of our income. And that, for me, tithing for me is a statement of hope. It is about hope. It is about saying, what does it say in the passage? Don't put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. And so tithing for me says, I'm putting my hope in God. God's letting me keep the 90% that he owns already. But I get to use that for his provision, for enjoyment, and for saving, spending, giving, and what we need. But actually I choose, even though I might not, even though I might sometimes think, oh, do I really have to do it? I choose, first of all, the first for the Lord, and put my hope in God, and then prove that message of hope. Do it regularly and cheerfully, and as a choice. And for me, that's what that has been, and for us. And sometimes we've seen God's provision for us in amazing ways. I shared before how in 2002 we faced a redundancy situation. But we continued to give during that time, and the Lord changed, the Lord made a way. In 2007, we faced a bit of a difficulty with paying our mortgage. And again, I haven't got time to share the whole story, but God supernaturally provided for us when we didn't know how we were going to pay the mortgage at that time. And we continued to give. And over that time as well, this is a funny one really, but you know, since I started theological college back in 2002, God has provided us with 6 cars for free. We've never paid for a car in all of our time. Now, I don't know how long that anointing is going to last for. I hope really long time, you know, and I never intend, no, I'm kidding. The last time we got a car, the car we've currently got, which we've had for ages, we were like, is God going to provide it this time? Because we've had five before then. And we were like, oh, we should probably go and look at car showrooms or something. And then, out of nowhere, God provided. Now, I'm not, that's just his goodness. So he'll work in you in a different way. It's not that you have to have had that story. That's just our story. That's my story. It could be different for you and it could be something else. But during that time, you know, when we were at theological college, Caroline worked 2 days a week volunteering for a church to do community ministry, and 3 days a week as a social worker. That was all our income, as well as a small grant from during theological college. We didn't have a lot, is what I'm trying to say. But of what we had, we gave. We continued to give. And so it produces, it's about where our trust is and where our hope is. And seeing God provide when there are real, genuine struggles that we have in our finances, but God is faithful and he provides. We've also seen this here at St. Mary's. When, before I arrived here, must be 2007 or 2008, God provided through a gift money to hire a youth worker for Ignite. And that was through a donation made possible, something in ministry that we've enjoyed ever since. But that's what made that possible. And that's why that financial obedience produced hope, because it was trusting in the Lord. We saw it back in, after, not long after I got here, someone gave so that we could renew the computers, which were really creaking in the church office. And so that enabled the office to actually function well, which was a massive blessing to Amanda and the others in the office. And look, you know, with the Hope Center, another story of hope, how God has provided over these past 6-7 years to enable the Hope Center to be fully paid for. And in all of that, and in all of this, I want to say a big thank you to this church family because of your generosity. Your generosity is overflowed with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And well done. That God has really enabled that giving to produce hope. And in so many ways that will go on for years and years to come. And not only that, but also in here, 10 years ago, we spoke about Little Lambs, 10 years anniversary. Cafe Hope, the same. Lots of things that have been given that actually, through the generosity of God's people, it's been through generosity that this has been able to happen. And sometimes we have to sit down and take stock and say, wow, you know, that was such a lot of generosity, and God is able to do such a lot with it. And it's important to know that the giving that we give makes a real difference in people's lives for the mission of God in this place and further afield. We decided to give a tithe to the church, but also offerings to other charities and organizations as well. And we believe in giving to all over the place where God calls us to give and to sow generously so we can reap generously. That's why today we've put into your notice sheet a giving form. Because I would love you, as I've shared with you a little bit of a glimpse into like our story of hope, where we have given, and just out of obedience, not always feeling it, but just obeying in discipleship, we just do what the Lord says, do it. That's why Paul says command. We just do it. We do it in love, we do it cheerfully, but it's produced a story of hope. Generosity has produced hope. It says our hope is in God, and that's why we're inviting you to join in that story of hope and see what hope God will work in your life and in us as a church family together as we give, because generosity is about hope. So you know, I know many of us here already you give, so you know feel free to increase that donation if you want to say that now, but no. In all seriousness, you know, if that's you, then feel free. There's no pressure. There's no compulsion. I just want to offer that out to everybody today, So, you know, I don't know what people are giving at all, but the Holy Spirit will prompt you and he'll say, either keep going, you're doing the right thing, go for it, be encouraged, be blessed, well done. Or he might say to you, I want to sow more hope through you. And so maybe he'll touch your heart and say, I'm going to increase by faith what God I'm giving, and I want that to produce hope around me. I don't know. Maybe some of you haven't started giving. And it could be like for me, I started giving at a certain time. I've been a Christian for many years. I used to just give what was in my pocket. And maybe that's your experience. You come and you give what's in your pocket. I'm grateful for that. But I would love to invite you on a journey there's more than that, that we can experience God's grace through tithing, through offerings, through that blessing of sowing into his kingdom. Righteousness. So that's the first thing, and it's a joy, it's a real joy, and I wonder what your story of hope would be at the end of that. The second thing, verse 18 and 19, he says there, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. In this way you will lay up treasure, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's one of those verses of scripture that you look at and you think, wow, for me it was like, I've never read that before. You ever get those Bible verses where you think you've read lots of the Bible, but you think, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So that you could take hold of the life that is truly life. The second point from these verses is that generosity affects eternity. So as our giving, it's not just about affecting time. And you give and God blesses you in time. But he also blesses you in eternity, beyond this life. And this is about investing in eternity. Investing beyond our years on earth here. And that's what this is about. It's about living an unselfish lifestyle, because he calls them to be rich in good deeds. Rich in good deeds. What a great vision to have for your life. To be someone who is rich in good deeds. Not just good to those who are good to you, but as Jesus said, you know, to be rich in good deeds to all. Wouldn't that be a great vision statement to make for your life? I'm going to be a person who is rich in good deeds. And is generous and willing to share. Sharing is a struggle sometimes, isn't it? I don't have to be honest, I don't particularly like sharing. If you're going to have a curry with me, I'll be like, well, you ordered that, I ordered this. You can't have some of mine. If you wanted my curry, you should have ordered that. Anyone else? Anybody else like that? Put up your hand if you're like that. Come on. Yes. We don't do the general sharing curry thing. Yes. If I want lamb, I would have ordered lamb. But I ordered chicken. Anyway. I think it's a bit more serious than that, probably, in the Bible. Anyway, it's tough to share sometimes, isn't it? You know, we teach children to share. But sometimes we don't want to share, do we? We want to not share. But he says, be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share. And again, I know that's a humorous example, or maybe not humorous, but I mean, I wonder where that's coming from. God have mercy. But in all seriousness, it's probably coming from somewhere that's not that healthy in me or in us. When we're unwilling to share, where does that come from? What's that saying about our hearts or about my attitude? And it's important, because this affects life, and that's sometimes why we can get so stressed in life, because we want to keep everything. We want to protect everything. We want to hold on, and we are not willing. We're coming to that door, and with Jesus on the other side, and our hands are full of stuff because we're not willing to let it go. And it may not just be possessions, it may be shame or guilt, or it may be a whole ton of things that could be in our life that we don't need. We need to let go of, and we need to ask God to heal us from. There's a lot. It's all the stuff under the surface, isn't it? It's the iceberg thing of, you know, you've got above the surface, and then there's so much under the surface. And the way of discipleship often is about looking beneath the surface in our hearts and saying, God, you know, I've got some issues that I need to deal with, and they can take time, but we need to look under the surface and say, God, why is it I'm not rich in good deeds? Why is there something in me that resists generosity, that is not willing to share? So, Lord, I want to get that healed. I want that to be changed. I really do. And if I'm honest, sometimes when Caroline and I are talking about these things, and you know, we love to give, but then sometimes Caroline will, you know, she'll say to me, "Why don't we give some more?" And then I'm like, "Oh, but we're already giving," you know. And I can start to go into that place, and it's actually me not being willing to share. So that's me being very honest. I sometimes think, oh, I really, can't we do something else with that? I won't ask you to put your hand up if that's you as well. But Caroline's actually one of the most generous people I know. She's incredibly generous to the point of being very challenging sometimes. I love her dearly. She's speaking in St. Michael's this morning, that's why she's not here. But anyway, the last thing I'll say is this. He says, in the way that you will lay up treasure for themselves, then you will lay up treasure for themselves. It's by the good deeds, by the generosity, by the sharing that we lay up treasure in heaven. Where moth and rust cannot destroy, thieves cannot break in and steal, where the stock market has no influence, we lay up treasure in heaven. And it says, as a firm foundation for the coming age. You and I are, this life is a vapor. It is here today and gone tomorrow. We have 70 years and 10, and then maybe some. And God gives us this window, this brief moment, this like twinkling of an eye in eternity, where we can be generous, and where we can sow, and where we can share. But it's making a difference for all eternity. I think that's really exciting. I want to get to heaven one day and see the difference that's been made through decisions made here on earth. That we say, God, I've got a vision for my life, not just for now, but for eternity, to declutter my heart so that I'm not just going to get to eternity and think, well, I've just left a ton of stuff behind me on earth, and now I've kind of got a small amount in eternity because I didn't think about that. You know, we want to get into eternity having prepared for it. And who wants to lay a firm foundation for the ages to come, the coming age? Well, it's right here. So I'm telling you the answer so you know. It is to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, and to be willing to share. May God help us to do that. And can we see this morning how, you know, for example, tithing is, I personally believe tithing is like a call or a command of Scripture. But the Bible also says we don't give under compulsion. We give what God's put in our hearts to give. So there's no pressure, no compulsion, gratitude, simplicity, and love are the order of the day here, and obedience. But the exciting thing from the text this morning is that it's about hope and your story of relying on God, your story of depending on Him, your story of trusting in Him. And put my trust and put my hope in God. And it's also about beyond this life, in eternity, what am I sowing now that I will reap in eternity? This firm foundation of generosity, and not just financial, that's about whole attitude of other-centered living and a whole way of life that is the way of Jesus. And that can work itself out in 1,000,000,000 ways. Acts of kindness, acts of grace, generosity, not judging, being kind, being gentle, being open-hearted, sharing with those who are in need. Whenever we see the needs around us, we do all we can to meet the needs around us. And we don't expect to be paid back, but we give generously. That's the heart of Jesus, isn't it? And that's where we're laying up firm foundations for eternity. So we just pray for a moment together. Dear Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word that really brings freedom to us if we can say yes. Father, we confess, and I confess sometimes getting in knots about all of these things because of just complexity of not knowing what to do. Perhaps wrong attitudes, perhaps selfishness, perhaps fear and control. Father, I ask for your forgiveness and for wherever we together as brothers and sisters, where we experience this, Father, we pray you bring your forgiveness into our lives because we want to be free or freer. We want to walk in more freedom in the realm of generosity and kindness and grace and love. And Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts to give us a vision for the hope that can come when we give and for the difference that giving can make. And I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters this morning that you would give all of us just a fresh vision for how you've called us to live. Not as unwise, but as wise and as disciples of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to cheerfully and joyfully surrender to you and make the choices that would train ourselves to be godly. We pray for that, Father. We pray for that, Lord. Help us, Lord, in the ups and downs of life. Help us, Lord, some of us perhaps facing financial difficulty and some of us on the opposite side, Lord, of provision. But we pray, Father, that all of us together would just follow you in this regard. And I pray, Father, that for provision, where there are those among us in need, may the Lord provide generously to you. And may you put your hope in God. And Father, for those of us that you have given us a lot of resources in our life here on earth, I pray, Father, you give us grace to be open-handed. Give us grace, Father, not to turn the other way where we see the need. But I pray, Father, that you will work in us that spirit of generosity and hope and grace. And I pray, Father, that we would know a joy and such a peace that would come from you, Father, as we step out and step up in this generosity. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can be open and honest together. And I ask for you the blessing of God to rest upon every single one of my brothers and sisters here today, that we would all know the love of Jesus, we'd all know the goodness of God, and we would walk in the ways of the fear of the Lord all the days of our life. Mature us, Lord, deepen us. We pray that we would grow and become more like the Lord Jesus today and each day. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen.